ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா. நாராயண நமஸ்கிருத்யா நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாசம் தத்தோ ஜய முதீரயேத். நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷ்வ பதேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா. பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்தி பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா. Last Friday and today we are studying about the Dashavatara, the 10 incarnations of Lord Krishna. So last Friday Nimai Prabhu covered the first 5, and today we'll be discussing the next 5. So before I begin to discuss about the pastimes of the next 5 incarnations, I want to give a short introduction about the idea of incarnation and some of the misconceptions. Okay, this Dashavatara is... Yes, Prabhu? Okay. This is a very famous sets of incarnations, especially in India. And there's a common misconception that Lord Vishnu or Krishna has only 10 incarnations. And this is actually not correct. According to Bhagavatam, the Lord has how many incarnations? Unlimited incarnations. Okay, in verse 26, we will study that. Okay, and also in the previous chapter, Prabhupada stated that actually the Lord incarnates practically in each and every society of living entities. Okay, so that's the first thing. The Lord has unlimited incarnation. But if something is unlimited, it's difficult for us to learn anything from it. Therefore, the scriptures and our acharyas has given us the details of some of the incarnations so that we can learn and we can relish from them. Okay, in this way, in different parts of the scriptures, there are different categories of incarnations which are classified. For example, in Bhagavatam, there are 22 incarnations which I explained in chapter 2 of Canto 1, chapter 3 of Canto 1. Similarly, another great acharya by the name of Jayadeva Goswami, in one of his great writings known as Gita Govind, he has a section called Dashavatara Stotra, in which he has explained these 10 incarnations of the Lord. Okay, and these 10 incarnations are very... it's nice because they are actually pastime incarnations, lila avatars, and each of them has very deep pastimes that we can relish. Okay, the next point I want to just explain before I move on is the relationship between Krishna and the incarnations. Okay, as we know, there are how many supreme personality of Godhead? Only. There's only one supreme absolute truth. But there are so many incarnations, and each of them are also known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or at least most of them. So how is it possible there are many Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet there's one? So to understand this, let's imagine there's a king, okay? So when the king goes to the king's, the palace in the court, he's known as the king, and people respect him as king. And he has a different position. He's in a very highly respectable position. And then the same king, when he goes to his mother, he's like a son. So he's more submissive, he's more respectful, more humble. And then when the king goes to his friends, he's more relaxed with his friends. When he goes to his grandson, maybe he's more playful. Okay, then when he goes to his wife, maybe he's a bit fearful. Okay. See the point, and he's also known as different names. In the courtroom, people call him my lord or something like that. His mother would just call him my son. Grandsons will call him grandfather. So the same person, but he has different moods. He reciprocates differently, and he also has different names in different circumstances. So in the same way, the Lord is also only one. There's only one supreme personality of Godhead. But depending on how he reciprocates with his devotees and the function he performs, he takes different forms and different names. Okay? But one difference is the king cannot exist in all places simultaneously, but the Lord can. Therefore, all the forms of the Lord are eternally existing. Okay? Now, what is the special position of Lord Krishna in that case? Krishna is known as the Swayam Bhagavan. He's like, when the king has no any other obligations, he's just himself sitting at home, enjoying with his family and just being himself, you know. That is the form of Lord Krishna, God just being himself. That's why he's known as the Swayam Bhagavan, the origin of all other incarnations are taken for certain purpose, for certain reasons. But Krishna is just Swayam Bhagavan. Okay, so this is just, I want to clarify this before continuing. Now we will get into the more interesting part, the Dashavatar. Last week we saw the first five. Can anyone remember that five? What is the first? Kurma. Okay, this side. Number four? Narasingha. And five? Vamana. Okay. So Matsyavatar, he came to deliver the Vedas. Kurma for the churning of the milk ocean. Varaha? To save earth and kill the demon Hiranyaksha. Narasingadev? Save Prahlad Maharaj and kill Hiranyakashipu. And finally, Vaman Dev, he came to the demigods and, yeah. To show mercy to Bali Maharaj, yes. Okay, so today we'll be seeing the next five. Parasuram, Lord Ramachandra, Balaram, Buddha and Kalki. Okay, first is Lord Parasuram. Lord Parashuram is a son of a great sage known as Jamadagni. Okay, Jamadagni was living in a forest with his family, and once there was nearby his forest, there's a kingdom, there's a city known as Mahishmati, and in that city there's a king. His name was King Kartavirya Arjuna, and he was a very powerful and extremely influential king. He's extremely powerful. And one day this king was hunting with his soldiers in the forest where Jamadagni was living. And while hunting, he came across the residence of Jamadagni. And when he went to the residence of Jamadagni, Jamadagni welcomed him very warmly. He gave him so much reception. And Jamadagni had a cow by the name of Kamadenu. Okay, so this cow, usually cows produce what? Milk. But this cow can produce anything that you desire. So because of the cow, Jamadagni was able to give such a wonderful reception to the king, so opulent, the best food and the best reception. After receiving this, the king should feel appreciative, isn't it? But he's a bit envious guy, so he didn't feel appreciative. Rather, he felt envious of Jamadagni. He thought, I am the king of the country, and therefore I should possess the highest opulence, not this sage who's staying in the forest. So he decided to take the Kamadenu and her calf back to his palace. So he and his soldiers, they stole Kamadenu from the stole, or they took it away from the Jamadagni, and they went to their palace. Now when Parashuram returned and he heard this story, he was very angry. So he immediately went to the city of Mahishmati, to the palace of Jamadagni. Palace of the king Kartavirya Arjuna. He fought with all the soldiers. There are thousands and thousands of soldiers with so much powerful elephants, everything. He fought with everyone single-handedly. He approached the king. He chopped his head. And then he took the cow and the calf and brought back to his father. And when he told his father, he was very happy with his heroic act. So he informed his father how he went single-handedly, defeated everyone. But Jamadagni wasn't very happy. He thought, you know, as Brahmanas, we should be more forgiving. And kings, they have their duties to perform. We should be respectful to the kings. So it doesn't mean what Parasuram did is wrong, what his father is telling is wrong. It's a two different way of seeing the thing. Okay, his father being a Brahmana is more forgiving. Parasuram had the spirit of a Kshatriya, so he wanted to put things correctly. Okay, so then his father had encouraged him to go and atone for his sin by going to the holy places. So this was the first part of the story. And then one day, Jamadagni's wife, her name is Renuka. Okay, She went to the forest to collect some water for prayers. And while she was collecting, she saw a Gandharva. Gandharva means celestial beings. With some celestial women enjoying. Okay, when she saw this sight, she became attracted to that person, the Gandharva. Slightly, mentally she got slightly attracted. So this was considered being unchaste. So when she returned, Jamadagni knew what has happened and he was angry. So he wanted to punish her. And guess what was his punishment? What? Yeah, to kill his wife. Not just directly, he wants his son to kill his wife. So he called one by one his sons. And everyone, obviously no son would be able to do that. So everyone refused. He told, no, we can't kill, we can't kill. Then finally Parasuram came. And Parasuram was very intelligent. And he knows his father's purity and his father's strength, potency. So when Jamadagni requested Parasuram to kill not only his mother, but also all the sons who have been disobedient, guess what Parasuram did? He immediately chopped all their heads. Okay? So it may seem like Parasuram has done something not good, but actually he did the wonderful thing. Because after chopping the head, Jamadagni was so pleased, he asked Parasuram, ask me what benediction you want. He told, I want all of them alive back. And not only that, he also asked for another important benediction. Yeah, he told, make sure they don't remember that I chopped their heads. So this happened. And as some time passed, they were living happily, and the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, okay, the king that Jamadagni killed, one day they came to the ashram of... Sorry, Parasuram killed, thank you. So they came to the ashram of Jamadagni when Parasuram was away and Jamadagni was performing meditation. He was meditating. So they came and they wanted to chop the head off Jamadagni. So Renuka was pleading to them, you know, please don't chop, no. They ignored and they just chopped the head and they brought... So then Parasuram came, he saw this and was very, very angry. He immediately went to the city of Mahishmati. He again fought with everyone. He chopped all the heads of all the soldiers and all the sons. And Bhagavatam explains in the midst of the city there was a hill made of heads. Mountain head of heads. And he made like ponds made of blood, and it was such a ghastly scene. Then Parasuram realized the problem is not only with this kingdom. In fact, all the kings in the world were contaminated. They were no more respecting the Brahmanas, because kings should take advice from the Brahmanas and respectful to the Brahmanas. So kings have lost this Brahmanical culture. They are not respected to Vedic culture. They are being dishonest. So Parasuram took it as his mission to destroy all the kings for 21 times. Okay, so that is the main contribution of the Lord incarnation as Parasuram. He destroyed the kingly orders who are not respectful and improper. Yes, Prabhu? I'm not sure, Prabhu. Yeah, it is in this Mahayuga. Sorry. So it must be around 1 million to 2 million years back. It happened Treta Yuga. It's in this Mahayuga because Parasuram also came in Lord Ram's pastime. He also came in Mahabharat. He's still alive. Okay, he was the spiritual master of Bhishma. He's the spiritual master of, not spiritual, martial art master. Karna. Drona also? Drona, oh, everyone seems. Okay? And it's stated he's still living in a place known as Mahindra. But now he has given up his Kshatriya attitude. He's living like a saint. Okay? So, this is the first story, Parasuram. Next we'll... Okay, the next incarnation is Lord Ramachandra. The stories of Lord Ramachandra is explained in Ramayana, and it was composed by Valmiki Muni. And Ramayana has 24,000 verses, which is like 1.25 times of Srimad Bhagavatam. So for me to explain in this short time entire bigger than Bhagavatam is not very possible. But I thought I'll just summarize the entire story so that we have the idea what Ramayana is. There are many characters involved, so to aid the explanation, so that we know the names that I'm speaking about. Okay, the pastime of Lord Ram happened in Treta Yuga, which means around a million years back. And there was a kingdom known as Ayutthaya, and the king of the kingdom is Dasharatha. Okay, Dasharatha had many wives, and the three of his prominent wives were not Mantara. Sumitra. Kaushalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. Okay? These are his three wives. And Kaushalya's son is Lord Ram, the incarnations of Krishna. And Sumitra's had two sons, Lakshman and Satrughna. And Kaikeyi had a son, Bharata. Okay? Okay. So they all lived very happily. Each of the mother considers all the sons as their own children. There's no separation. And every children were also very loving to each other. So they lived very happily, and the entire kingdom was very happy. And when the time came, each of them got married. And Lord Ram was specifically married to Sita, okay? And everyone also married to different wives. And Sita is basically goddess of fortune. Okay, so and they continued to live very happily until the time came when Dasharath became old. Okay, and he became old and he decided to pass the kingdom to his son, Lord Ram. So, the next day is the date to the coronation day, is it? Okay, where Lord Ram will be coronated as the king. And the whole kingdom was so happy. Everyone in extreme bliss. Okay, all the mothers, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, Sumitra, they were extremely happy. Everyone is just waiting for the time. Except one person in the kingdom. Mantara. There was a hunchback wicked lady, and she is the maidservant of Kaikeyi. Okay? She was a bit envious of... You had a question? Let's stick. I don't want to go into any details of the story. Later we can speak about that. Yeah. So Mantara was envious of Lord Ram, and she went to Kaikeyi and started influencing her. She told, "My dear Kaikeyi, are you so foolish? You are happy about Lord Ram becoming the king. Do you know what will happen? Your son Bharata will simply be the slave for Lord Ram, and you are just a mother of a slave. What's so happy about it?" Initially, Kaikeyi was very angry with Mantara for speaking like that, but Mantara just persisted. She continues to speak, and poisoned the mind of Kaikeyi, and eventually she was influenced. And she felt, yes, I cannot let this to happen. And then she went to, when she was initially married to Dasharath, Dasharath gave her two boons, and which she never asked till now, because she had nothing to ask. But now she thought, I'll make use of these two. So she went to Dasharath king, and she told him, "I want to ask the two benediction that you gave me." And the king was very happy, "Finally my wife is asking me." And she asked, "First benediction?" "I want Bharat to become my king." And the king was, Dasharath was half devastated. And second, she told, "I want Ram to be banished to the forest for 14 years. And the king was completely devastated. Okay? Then, but when Lord Ram heard this story, he took it as an instruction from his loving mother. He was very respectful. He didn't have any grudges. He just came and very respectfully paid his obeisances. He accepted that instructions as a duty of a son, and he left to the forest. And Ram was accompanied by Lakshman and Sita. Okay? During this time, Bharata and Satrughna, see these two guys, they were on a vacation. Okay? So when they returned, Bharat get to know the story that he's going to become the king, and how he felt? He was very angry. Usually people feel very excited. Next, all of a sudden you come back from vacation and realize you're the next king. Okay, but Bharat was very, very angry with his mother, and he actually chastised her like anything, till the point of almost rejecting his mother. And Kaikeyi came back to her mind, and she started she regretted for her act. Okay, but the story continues. But eventually, Bharat accepted the kingdom on behalf of Lord Ram. Okay, he accepted it as a service to Lord Ram, and he ruled Ayutthaya as a servant of Lord Ram. Okay. Meanwhile, Ram, Lakshman, and Sita. Okay? Three of them went to the forest, and they were living happily in the forest. Until one day, near the forest, there's another kingdom known which is extremely opulent kingdom, and the kingdom was ruled by the number one demon. His name was Ravana. Okay, that demon's sister, her name is Supanaka. Okay, she was roaming around the forest, and she came across Ram and Lakshman. And when she saw these two handsome guys, she was actually attracted to them. So she approached. I think she approached Ram first, and she told, no, she tried to attract him. Ram told, no, I'm married, go to my brother. His wife is not here. And his brother told, no, I'm just a servant of him, he's the master, go to him. In this way, they rejected her, but in a slightly sarcastic way. What word? Sarcastic. So, she was humiliated, and she thought all this happening because of this lady, Sita, and she was about to attack Sita. When Lakshman saw this, he attacked Supanaka, and he injured her. So she got very angry. She went to her brother Ravana. Yeah, I'll show the photos later. She went to the brother Ravana and she complained the whole thing. Okay? And not only that, Supanaka was also smart. She thought, if I just tell they injured me, he won't be too much bothered. She also told about the beauty of Sita. She told that this lady is so attractive, she only you are suitable for her. And she increased the lusty desire in Ravana. And Ravana got so much... He started developing the desire to enjoy Sita. And he decided to kidnap Sita. So he made a plan. He disguised himself and he came and he managed to kidnap Sita. And then Ram and Lakshman get to know that Sita was kidnapped. They found Sita was missing. And they were in great anxiety and they were roaming around the forest searching for Sita. Okay, at this time they came across an army of monkeys. Okay, headed by Sugriva and Hanuman. And this army of monkeys also had their own... They were in some dilemma. So Lord Ram told that, I will help to solve your dilemma and you help me to search Sita. In this way, both of them made a collaboration. And Lord Ram helped them and they also helped to search Sita. And out of all the monkeys who were searching, Hanuman, he is one of the greatest devotees of Lord Ram and he had so much faith in Lord Ram. And with that faith, he managed to locate where Sita was and he also actually met Sita. Okay? Then he came back. Sorry. Are you still following the story? Over here. Okay. I'll go through. Okay, this is the Kaikeyi. Poisoning, mantra poisoning Kaikeyi's mind. And then Kaikeyi asking the boon from Dashrata. And then Lord Ram very respectfully accepting the Kaikeyi's boon of going to the forest. Ram, Lakshman and Sita going to the forest. Bharata accepting the kingdom on behalf of Lord Ram and as a service to Lord Ram. And in the forest, all of them were living very happily until that girl, don't answer, what is her name? And who is she? Tony Prabhu. What is her brother's name at least? What is her brother's name? What is the king? Okay, Ravana. Okay? Hmm? Her name is Supanaka, but that's okay if you remember her brother's name. Okay, so she went and complained to Ravana, he got very excited. Yeah, that's Ravana. So, and Ravana trying to disguise and kidnap Sita, and Ram and Lakshman in anxiety, and they met the monkey armies and they're making collaboration with the armies, and the armies are trying to search for Sita. Hanuman met Sita. Okay, I told the story till now. Yeah, then Hanuman came. Yes.
Sorry, had they ever Hanuman and Ramchandra ever met before?
Not in the normal story, but there are detailed stories which says Hanuman in the childhood had met Ramchandra. Okay, so Hanuman came back, and he told all the monkey armies about this. Sita is in that island, which is away from the place they are staying. So to go to that island, they need to build a bridge. Because Hanuman could fly, could jump, others can't. So to build a bridge in the sea would be very difficult because the sea is very deep. You need a lot of stone. But by the potency of Lord Ram and the faith of the monkeys, they managed to make the stone to float on the water. So this is one of the greatest miracles which was done in by Lord Ram and the monkeys. Okay? Someone also told me, what is the evidence Lord Ram is a god? He could manage thousands of monkeys and, you know, make them work properly and organize them very well. If someone claims he's god, just give him 10 monkeys and ask them to organize the monkeys to do something. So the monkeys build the bridge and they march towards Lanka. Okay? Actually, Hanuman, when he met Sita, he met Ravana also, and he warned Ravana. He gave him the warning, please return Sita. Ravana didn't, so there's no choice, but they had to fight for her. So there's a great battle which occurs for many days, and finally, as expected, Lord Ram became victorious. And he got back Sita, and all of them went back to Ayodhya, and Lord Ram was again coronated as the king, and they lived happily ever after. I don't want to get further, okay? So Hanuman is also there. Hanuman became an eternal servant of Lord Ram. That is Sita, and all of them are there. Okay? I also want to show something. Is the internet working? If not, I have the photo. No, it's not working. It's okay. I suspected it may not work. Okay. Actually, if we follow Ramayana, I'm not sure how accurate this geographical locations are, but if you just map it to modern day geography, this is the island of Lord Ravan, the demon Ravana, okay, Lanka. And this is the place where they are expected to build a bridge, okay. Today's satellite image shows some remnant of the bridge. Is this correct? Okay, so. No, it depends on the question.
If Ravana's kingdom was in Lanka and it was an island, how did Supanaka get there to where
Supanaka is? She's a Rakshasa, and they have many mystical powers.
Oh, so okay. She flew over.
Yeah, she might have. Even Vibhishana came. And in fact, her brother was there, Kara, other brother. They were everywhere scattered around. Okay. Do you have any questions? Okay. So we saw the two stories, Parasuram and Ram, and who's number 8? Balaram. Okay. Balaram is an immediate expansion of Lord Krishna, and whatever incarnations Lord Krishna takes, Balaram also comes. Like when Krishna comes as Vishnu, Balaram comes as Sesha. When Krishna comes as Ram, Balaram comes as. Okay. Actually, all four of them are Vishnu Tattvas. Okay, they are the expansion of Chaturvyuha, Vyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. Okay, so Balaram comes as Balaram is also Sankarshan is also expansion of Balaram. Okay, so when Krishna came personally 5,000 years ago, Balaram came personally, and I had requested Baladev Prabhu to speak something about Balaram.
Thank you, Prabhu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Vatale Shrimati Jaya Padaka Swami Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gauraka Tadamataya Nagara Grama Tarine Kam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Gayate Girim Jat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. With the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, I'll try to speak a little bit on Lord Balaram's unlimited qualities. Most of Lord Balaram's qualities, pastimes are described in the Sri Balabhadra Sahasranam. Just like Lord Vishnu has Vishnu Sahasranam, Lord Balaram also has 1,000 names. These names, I'm just going to give you a quick introduction. These names were first spoken by Garga Muni to the gopis in the banks of the river Jamuna. They are very, very rare. Even the demigods have never heard these names of Lord Balaram. And the second time these verses were spoken was by sage Pradvipika to Duryodhan. Duryodhan is the disciple of Lord Balaram. Now, Duryodhan, he was staying in Hastinapur and he wanted to inquire about Lord Balaram. And he mentions, I want to know the glories of Lord Balaram. And I'm just going to read the first three verses of the Balaram Sahasranam under translation. Text 1. Duryodhana vacha Balabhadra devasya Pradvipaka mahamune namnam sahasrame bhuhi guhyam deva ganir api. Duryodhana said, O great sage Pradvipaka, please tell me the 1,000 names of Lord Balaram, names kept secret even from demigods. Text 2. This is the answer to the question of Duryodhana. Sri Pradvipaka vacha sadhu sadhu maharaja sadhu te bimalam yasa yat prakasha param idam gargotam devadurlavam. Sri Pradvipaka said, well done, well done, well done. O king, your fame is spotless. Your question has been answered by Garga Muni in the words rarely heard by even the demigods. So again, this sage is confirming what Duryodhana said, that these names of Lord Balaram are very rare, and even the demigods will not hear, have not heard these names, what to speak of the common living entities, different jivas. And again, he in text 3, he goes, I will tell you the names of Lord Balaram's 1,000 names, names that Garga Muni gave to the gopis on the banks of the beautiful Jamuna. Now, who is Lord Balaram is explained throughout the Balaram Sahasranam. I just picked a few verses that describe Lord Balaram. Verse 24 explains this. Krishna Mahavishnu Mahavishnu Prabhavishnu Visheshavit Hamso Yogeshwara Kurmo Varaho Narado Muni. Translation. He is Krishna, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, all-powerful, all-knowing, like a swan, the master of yoga, Kurma, Varaha, Narada, and the great sage. So here is explaining who Lord Balaram is. He is Krishna. Text 43. He is the enemy of Jarasandha, the killer of Kalayavana, the allied of the Pandavas, the four-armed Narayana, the dark complexion Lord Krishna. So another name of Lord Balaram is also Shyamalanga, and he's also Chaturvyuha, as we have already discussed last week. All the Narayan or Vishnu forms. Lord Balaram has a very unique position. We have Krishna as the Supreme Lord, the origin of everything. And his first expansion is Lord Balaram. From Balaram, he expands to another four primary expansion, which is Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. From Sankarsana, there is another five main expansion, and this is explained actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Lila, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, he is giving an introduction to who Lord Nityananda is, because Lord Nityananda is none different than Lord Balaram. And he explains the Chaturvyuha. Now, these five immediate expansion of Sankarsana is, first one is Mahasankarsana. Mahasankarsana expands into the many Vishnu forms in the spiritual world. The second is Mahavishnu or Karanadakashari Vishnu. The third is Garbhodakashari Vishnu. And then his fourth is Shirodakashari Vishnu. And the fifth is Shesha or Ananta. Now he mentions that this particular form of Balaram, Shesha, Ananta, is there to assist Lord Krishna's pastimes. That's his only service, to assist Krishna. Now, I'm just going to go back again to different verses. In text 62, he is known as Krishna, Narada, he is Ganga, he is the sacred rivers, he is the Siddha Sharma, Bindu, Bindu Sarova. All these descriptions are of Balaram. Text 83. He is known as Giridhari, the lifted, he lifted Govardhan Hill, and he is the master of Lakshmi Devi. Now, of course, we know that it was Krishna who lifted Govardhan Hill, right? So why is the Garga Muni describing Balaram as Giridhari? Because he's no different from Krishna. Now let me explain, let me go back and let me explain to you what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in text 5 of the Adi Lila. He says, they are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastime. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of that verse, Balaram is a swansa. Remember, last week we talked about swansa and vivinamsa. Swansa is God, Krishna, and vivinamsa is the jiva. So Srila Prabhupada says, Balaram is the swansa of the Lord. Therefore, there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. That's Srila Prabhupada's comment on that verse. And again, in verse 34, also, he is described as Chandra Bamsi. And we know again that Krishna is the one who plays the flute. But Balaram is also described as Chandra Bamsi. So there are many, many descriptions of Krishna that are same as Balaram. Balaram is Krishna, Krishna is Balaram. The only difference is their color. We are very fortunate to have Lord Balaram appearing here as Lord Nityananda. He is the original Guru. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's about it. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Padre. Thank you. So, I just want to add one small thing about Balaram and then we'll continue. When Balaram came as Lakshman, he was the younger brother and therefore he has to be obedient to Lord Ram. So he thought, okay, enough of obedience. Next time I'm going to become elder brother and I'm going to control Krishna. So he came as elder brother. He realized Krishna is not listening to him. So he thought, that's enough. Next time when I come, it has nothing to do with him. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he came as Davadut Nityananda. Okay. Lakshmi, you had a question just now. Can you... Mantra. Is it Pebble? I suffered that. Okay, so the next pastime is Lord Buddha. Okay. Okay, just imagine there's a child who's playing with a knife. Okay, knife is something useful. Okay, for some, you can use it for many purposes. But when a child is playing with a knife, what would the mother do? Snatch away the knife from the child. Because a useful thing as a knife can be dangerous in the hand of an inexperienced child. Okay, so similarly, in the beginning, after Krishna left, Kali Yuga began. Okay, so in the beginning of Kali Yuga, as time passed, the Brahmanas became contaminated and they start to abuse the Vedas. They start to misuse the Vedas. Okay, can we think of some Vedic principles that's been misused? Yes. Yeah. Animal sacrifice. Okay. In Vedas, there are some prescriptions for animal sacrifice, but done under certain regulations. But it was being used for sense gratification. Any other? Okay, sati, yeah. Any other? Yeah, exploitation of lower class. In the Vedas, there's Varnashram system, a division of society, which is very useful to maintain a perfect social order. But it was also exploited. People start to declare by, you know, class to birthright and saying we are high class, you are low class. So in this way, there were many abuse of the Vedas. And therefore, the Lord has to descend to stop this. And the way he needs to do that is by taking away the Vedas from the society. And that was the purpose of the incarnation of Lord Buddha. So Lord Buddha came 2,500 years back. And he taught atheism. He thought there's no God. No need to believe these Vedas. And just, basically he was establishing the basic moral principles. How to be a proper human first before you can approach the Vedas. Okay? So that was the contribution of Lord Buddha. But his teaching is actually temporary for that circumstances. Because Vedas are ultimately necessary for the human society. So, yes, Prabhu? Yeah, okay. So, eventually, Lord Shiva, actually, his expansion, Shankaracharya, came and he reintroduced Vedas to the society. But he didn't do that completely because people were atheist. They were into Buddhist philosophy. So, he actually taught, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shankaracharya's teaching is actually Buddhism, but it's covered. Okay, so, he taught the exact thing using the Vedas. In this way, he brought back people's faith in Vedas. But the teaching was not proper yet. So later on, many other Acharyas, Vaishnava Acharyas, like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they came and they re-established the actual principle of the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave the complete idea of the complete interpretation of the Vedas. And that is the teaching Prabhupada brought to the whole world. Okay? So this is the incarnation of Buddha. Any question about Buddha?
So Buddha came to teach people how to be moral.
Yes.
Without the Vedas, without worshiping the Supreme Personality.
Mm-hmm.
But Prabhupada tells us that being a moral man is actually useless without the worship.
So yeah, in one sense it's not an eternal principle. Okay, it's an emergency religion. Okay, at that point, just like example I gave, if a child is playing with a knife, you take away. But it doesn't mean when the child grows up, maybe he needs to do cooking or something, the knife is needed. Then you reintroduce back. Okay? Then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's a big question. In this canto, Prabhupada said it's the same Buddha. If you read the purport, Prabhupada's referring to the Buddha and he said it was predicted. And Prabhupada he spent like one paragraph explaining how Bhagavatam can predict the future and it has been proven that it works.
Okay, this shows the authority of Bhagavatam. But in second chapter, in the scheduled incarnation, that Buddha, if I'm not mistaken, Prabhupada explained this is not the same Buddha.
That Buddha is another type.
Another?
Some other
Buddha. Yeah. There's a list of incarnations in this Canto 1. There's another list of incarnation, Canto 2. Here, if you read the purport, it seems Prabhupada clearly says this is the Buddha that appeared 2,500 years back. Okay? In the second Canto scheduled incarnation, in the purport, okay, I'm not very sure, I have to reconfirm it. Okay? Prabhu, you want to comment? Yeah, I'll learn. You have any comment, Mataji? Yeah. So.
We have to understand the contradiction.
Maybe different.
Not just true, there are many Buddhas.
Yeah, there are many Buddhas, it's true.
Buddha is an incarnation that comes to bewilder a theistic class of
yes,
people.
Yes,
so exactly. And that Buddha, the sloka says that he is bewildering the scientists traveling in the Vimanas. So clearly it is that Buddha who came in some other yuga when the scientists were more developed and he is bewildering them. So that's the job.
Thank you, Guru. Yeah, so that there are many Buddhas, and in this chapter, the Buddha explains this Buddha, and the other Buddhas explain according to the description. Okay, so that is the Buddha incarnation. Yeah. Okay, and it's also an important point to notice the how perfect is Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever it states, it happens. Okay? And the next final incarnation is Kalki. There are not many descriptions, but among the Kalki incarnation, Krishna takes Kalki incarnation at the end of Kali Yuga, which means how many more years? Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. 5,000 has passed. So remaining is? 427,000 years more. Okay, and Kalki, it is stated he'll be born in a village known as Shambhala. His father's name is Vishnu Yasha. Okay, these are the details given. And he comes to kill the kings who are plunderers. No, basically, kings will be barbaric kings, and he'll come, he'll destroy them and re-establish a proper civilization. And another Satya Yuga will start after that. So that is Kalki. But if you go to India, even now you'll find many Kalkis. And I heard once from my friend, I don't know how far it's true, one TV station call all these Kalkis and ask them to, two Kalkis. Ask them to say debate and argue who's the proper Kalki. Okay? So, whoever claimed themselves as Kalki, it's bogus, because Kalki avatar will be taken much, much, much later. Okay? So, these are the 10 incarnations. Can someone from this side tell what is the first incarnation? Matsya? Kurma? Varaha? Okay, Clayton Prabhu, Ananta Prabhu, don't say. Matsya, okay, what did Matsya avatar did? Yeah, okay. To show mercy to Manu Vaivasata, Satyavata Muni, and also to save the Vedas. And Kurma avatar? Yeah, to use as a pivot to churn the... Okay, Varaha? Save the earth. Vamana? Narasimha. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes. And Vamana? He shows his mercy too. Bali Maharaj. Yes. She's repeating. Yeah, all incarnations has multiple purpose. But the actual reason is to give pleasure to the devotees. Others are secondary. We have to please Nandu Kumar Prabhu. Okay, today's Nick Prabhu, what is the first incarnation we spoke today? The incarnation of so many people dying. Okay, Parasuram. Okay, second? Lord Ramachandra. Third, Baladev Prabhu spoke. Balaram. And fourth, Buddha. Kalki, okay. And oh yeah, Parasuram Buddha are actually Sakti Avesh Avatar. They are living entities who are empowered by Krishna to perform some activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Yuga Avatar. As I mentioned in the beginning, there are unlimited avatars. These are just some classification. Okay, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hidden. So Jayadev Goswami wouldn't have described. Jayadev Goswami was before or after? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before. So anyone who came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't have explained his incarnation that openly. Because he's supposed to be hidden. Okay? Yes. He came basically to kill the Kshatriyas who are dishonest and not respecting the Brahmanas. And at that point, most of the kings were like that. So he came to clear the kingly orders. And Prabhupada said, most of the kings run to Europeans and Europe, and the Europeans are these kings who are afraid Kshatriyas and run away. We do, they are not as common as these incarnations. Like Sesha Prabhu is the deity of Vaman Dev. And in India, I'm sure there are deities of. Yeah. Kurma, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bhagavatam says in the 11.5.32, the description Lord Chaitanya is given. And many other places also. But it's not as open as other incarnations. Like in this chapter of where Krishna explained 22 incarnations, Lord Chaitanya is not stated. In this chapter where Krishna specifically talks about the 22 incarnations, Lord Chaitanya is not stated here. He's stated later. Okay? Any other question? Yeah. The destructions happen at the end of Manu. Partial devastation happen end of Manu.